Good morning. Thank you for joining Harbor Rock Tabernacle online for church this morning. It's unusual not to be able to be together as a congregation, but we're glad that you joined us, and we pray the Lord will encourage you this morning. We're going to start our study this morning with a passage from Mark chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, we encourage you to grab that and also a pen and a piece of paper to take some notes. Mark 1 has a conversation between Jesus and a man who was in Galilee, and I want to read starting in verse 40. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around, to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. You know, there's been a lot of discussion in the midst of this crisis in our world this morning about the concept of social distancing. The strong recommendation from the Center for Disease Control and other health organizations has been to stay at least 6 feet away from other people to prevent any spread of this virus. And most people have complied to that. It's been more of a challenge for people doing their jobs or college students who are packing up from their campuses. And then we've, of course, seen some examples of people who have just ignored it, like college students in Florida who are on spring break. The counsel to socially distance ourselves makes sense from a practical standpoint, but it's maybe even more logical from a psychological standpoint. It gives us a greater sense of safety and security in the face of uncertainty. But one of the most profound effects of this pandemic has been that we are more separated, more physically isolated from each other because of natural quarantines and restrictions. And technology helps us to overcome that a little bit. The video and social media that we're able to do and the connection between churches, all the resources that we're trying to do right now to connect people with each other. But there's nothing quite like person-to-person interaction. And when we don't have that, we feel it. Now, for some, this has been more in their comfort zone. Maybe they need a welcome break from people. Maybe they're more introverted. Maybe we just all need a little bit of time to ourselves or spending more focused time with our family. I know I'm glad to have my kids at home. And we don't get that enough when we're busy. It's hard to find that isolated time to be with each other. But for others, this is extremely uncomfortable. They feel shut out or isolated. They have more time alone with their thoughts, and they may be very scared, as some are, about when life is going to be returning back to normal. So imagine, as we think about Mark chapter 1, if this was your normal all the time. You were acutely sick. You were highly contagious. You were completely shut out from society. You were actually legally prevented from having personal interactions. What would you do if you were permanently socially distanced from everybody? Now, that's the case for this man here in Mark chapter 1. He's a leper in the Galilee town of Capernaum. And leprosy was a particularly nasty infectious disease. It was kind of like this coronavirus because it affected the upper respiratory system. But along with that infection and that difficulty in breathing, it caused sores on the skin that were very painful and itchy. And it caused nerve damage and numbness that would make the person scratch, but they wouldn't know they were scratching. And in doing that, they would scratch so severely that it would damage their body. And ultimately, the collective problem would cause some disfiguration of the body. Now, a leper would be easy to spot. They would look scaly. Their hair and their body had white spots that made them very easy to identify. And not to get too graphic, but in the latter stages, their bodies would rot and their fingers and toes could fall off. So this was an unbelievably painful disease. And because of that pain and that deformity, many times lepers would just drag themselves along and cry in pain like a dog yelping. And really, the only hope for any kind of relief for them was death. And that's how they were treated. They were highly unclean. They were forced to separate from the public. Touching a leper made you unclean. Even breathing the same air around them was believed to be dangerous. So it was a lot like what we're seeing now, except far worse. In fact, leprosy was second only to a dead body in terms of seriousness. And they were actually seen to be dead personally and socially from the rest of the people. So they were legally, socially distanced all the time. Jewish civil law said that a leper couldn't come within 6 feet of an Israelite or 150 feet if there was a wind blowing from the east. So lepers had to live in caves or special colonies. They weren't allowed to come into cities or go anywhere close to the people, to the extent that they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," if somebody was too close to them. So look back at the text for a minute. This man in Mark chapter 1 had a serious problem on a number of levels. And the parallel passage in Luke 5 says that he was full of leprosy. This was not just a minor case. This affected every single area of his life. So he was required to stay out of Capernaum, out of the other villages, required to stay away from all these crowds that were walking around following Jesus and not to touch anybody. Now think for a moment how that would have made him feel. Right now, this virus is making people feel scared and weak and vulnerable and out of control. So add to that the physical and social trauma of leprosy, and we have just a tiny, tiny picture of what he felt. And we have to believe that he was extremely frightened. There was no cure. There was no chance of things getting better. There was no possibility of people someday coming around him to encourage him and help him. It was a scary, miserable existence with so much uncertainty about the future. That had to make him feel desperate, right? His awful physical situation created chronic weakness, and any time we experience constant weakness, it makes us feel inadequate and depressed and hopeless. And then you add to that his isolated social situation, which would easily, we would understand from a human standpoint, right, would easily produce anger and discouragement because he was constantly detached from culture. He was constantly lonely. Now, as I said earlier, some people might be struggling with that right now during this quarantine. It's uncomfortable for some people to be alone and to be isolated and to have to deal with themselves. We're so used to being busy and social, and now that in-person interaction is limited, and combined with the uncertainty and all the deaths that we see now kind of increasing, especially in Italy and Spain, it puts a lot of people in the position of having to think about their own mortality. And we don't like to do that. In those moments, how do we respond? Do we do what the leper does and seek the Lord, or do we become bitter and frustrated and lose hope, which he easily could have done? It would have been so logical and so reasonable for this man just to lose all hope. And one of the thoughts that has weighed so heavily on my mind this week is how many people in our country and how many people in our world are spiritually distanced from God. They've made a decision to distance themselves from the one who loves them. They've intentionally kind of quarantined themselves spiritually from God's love and God's mercy. They've dismissed the concept of Jesus being the only Savior. They have resisted the message that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And there are a lot of reasons for this. whether it's out of arrogance because they think that they are God and they dismiss the idea of a true God who created and controls all things. Or maybe it's out of defiance that even if there is a God, they don't think that they should have to answer to him, even though he's holy and perfect and we clearly are far from being holy and perfect. Certainly a love of sin is a huge motivation in that because we're all innately selfish and we want to do what we want to do. And that leads us to reject God's holy standards. Or maybe this spiritual distancing is driven by indifference, not caring about the thought of a supposed life after this one, not concerned about morals and values and consequences. Or they might distance themselves from God because of a personal hindrance, a relationship that soured on them or made them hesitant or skeptical about the concept of love and mercy. Or maybe there's a physical or emotional problem that they blame God for allowing, or some life problem that's completely ripped away any sense of happiness and purpose. And you see, while the experts tell us that social distancing will be effective in keeping us healthy and safe, spiritual distancing has exactly the opposite effect. The Lord tells us in his word that it will steal away any strength, any confidence, any peace. And instead, it will fill us with fear and anxiety and discontentment. And the devil pushes this. He lies and tells us that we can be our own gods and that we have our own power and that we'll feel much more fulfilled if we will just get away from the Lord. But the enemy doesn't tell us that that'll only damage us now and for eternity. Now, look back at the text of Mark chapter 1, because the leper could have come up with any number of justifications for not going near Jesus. It wouldn't have taken much to talk himself out of what his soul told him to do when he saw Jesus walking around and he saw Jesus healing those who were physically and spiritually sick. He could have stayed back. He could have followed the rules and said, well, I'm not allowed to go close. And maybe that would have justified the hesitation in his mind. But he takes two very powerful steps. He resists the temptation to spiritually distance himself from the Lord. First, would you notice that he boldly approaches Jesus? Despite the crowds, despite the laws about not going into town, about avoiding crowds, about risking infection to others, the law about distancing himself, about keeping 6 to 250 feet away from anybody, despite all the shame of his appearance, despite being a social outcast and a pariah, he goes right up to Jesus. What a picture of faith. That's what faith does. It refuses to listen to all the objections in our minds. It refuses to yield to our insecurities and fears. It refuses to only see what's tangible because it knows that with the Lord, there's a hidden element of power. And here's the thing, the Lord is not stingy with that power. He assures us that nothing is impossible with him. He assures us that he rewards those who diligently seek him with unwavering faith. And he reminds us that we don't have because we haven't asked him for help. And when we need to feel a touch from God, he's there. He isn't far off. He's approachable and his mercy is attainable. And Jesus Christ proved this. He proved how much God loves us and the lengths that God was willing to go to offer us salvation and cleansing and hope. And Hebrews 10 tells us that through his death and resurrection, Jesus opened up direct access to the throne of grace. And he tells us to come boldly and confidently to him to ask him for mercy and help. That's what the leper does here in Mark chapter 1. And we'll see in a minute what Jesus does in response. But before we get to that, notice second that this man didn't come with an attitude of pride or entitlement. He doesn't demand healing like everybody else. Everybody else, Jesus received healing from you, and you didn't put conditions on them, so I want healing from you. Instead, notice that he's humble. In verse 40, he falls on his knees, and he begs Jesus for help. See, that's always the right posture and the right attitude when we approach the Lord. He falls on his face, and he worships God. There's no way that you and I can be proud or defiant when we're on our knees. It communicates that we see ourselves as inadequate, that we know that we're dependent, that we need God's mercy. And this leper shows his belief, not only that Jesus can heal, but that he has the full authority of heaven. We studied that last week, because the passage in Matthew 8 says that he calls Jesus Lord. Not rabbi, like some people call Jesus, not teacher. The word he uses here, Lord, it means the one who owns and has the power over all things. See, this was gutsy because it was forbidden in Jewish law to bow down and worship any person. And he's already got enough stigma against him. He's already got enough marks against him that now to cross over this line and to bow down and worship Jesus, that would be it. You are only allowed by law to bow before God. So in his actions, the leper is confessing that he fully believes that Jesus is God and not just a prophet. And he knows that Jesus can heal him. And in his humility, he asks Jesus, "Are you willing?" What a beautiful sentence that is. There's no sense of demand because he knows that absolutely none of us are worthy of God's mercy. But he is completely confident that if Jesus is willing, he will make him pure. And that's such an important spiritual principle for us this morning. That when God pours out his mercy, it will always be more than we can need and more than we can use. And I want you to see the proof of his love and power here, because in verse 41, we see that Jesus was moved with compassion by the man's problem. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see examples of this. When Jesus was on the boat and he looked at the shore and he saw the crowds of people, the Bible says that he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. When he's confronted and the Pharisees bring this prostitute that was about to be stoned, he knew the hypocrisy of her accusers, and he told her that she could have a new life by leaving her sin and trusting in him. When he initiated conversation with the Samaritan woman, exposing the emptiness of her life and showing that she was chasing after the wrong things, but she could have fulfillment in God. With every person that's ever lived, he's offered himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins, defeating them forever by rising from the grave. Again and again and again and again, we see that God's love and compassion is endless, and it's available for every one of us. So look back one more time at Mark chapter 1. And see in verse 41 that Jesus doesn't reject the leper. All of us, if we were in the situation, would have run away. We would have yelled out, "Get away from me." We wouldn't have wanted to contract leprosy like people walking around right now with face masks on and distancing themselves from other people. This was that times 20. So we would have run away. But notice as the leper comes up to Jesus, that Jesus just stands there. But he doesn't keep a distance. He actually reaches out and touches him. That was unthinkable. But again, here we see the kindness of God. And the fact that he doesn't reject him here is a spiritual metaphor. Because leprosy in New Testament times was seen as a curse. It was seen as a statement that you were deeply in sin and it was a punishment. But here's such a beautiful spiritual thought. Jesus shows us here that he's never repulsed by the sinner. He just hates our sin. And he is more powerful than any disease. He's more powerful than any virus. He's able to completely forgive and remove our sin forever. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So if you have never turned from your sin, wherever you're listening this morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and cleanse you, please know that what he does for the leper physically is what a picture of what he wants to do in your life spiritually. He wants to make you pure and accept you as his own for all eternity. And just like with the leper, he is willing to do this for anyone who trusts in him. His kindness and his goodness is unparalleled. He always responds to our faith. And in the same way that he immediately heals the leper, when you trust in him and you confess your sin and you ask him to be your savior, he will immediately forgive your sin. Listen, when God moves, it's not delayed. He is so kind and so good that he promises, when you call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and I will help you. So let me ask you this morning, have you distanced yourself from the Lord? And if so, what has caused you to do that? Whatever your reasons are, whatever you think you're going to gain by doing that, the real result of that decision will be fear and uncertainty and lack of contentment. But when you draw close to him with faith and humility, whatever your circumstance, whatever's in your past, whatever's in your present, he will be compassionate and he will help you. Isn't that an awesome truth in the middle of these confusing times? There is no peace in the news. There's no comfort this morning in the uncertainty of world events. We have no idea a week from now, 2 weeks from now, what anything's going to look like. But with God, he is faithful, and Jesus is willing to pour out his mercy on your life when you ask him. So I pray that you and I will be like the leper, that we will draw close to him. Whether you need salvation or you need cleansing or you just need a touch from the Lord, that you will find strength in his presence. Let me pray for all of us. Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the picture of your kindness that you showed to the leper, Lord, who came to you humbly, needing help, asking you for mercy. And Father, you poured it out on him immediately with great grace and great love and great kindness. Father, I pray for anybody this morning that is struggling, that is away from you, that has turned their heart away from you, that right now you would reach out to them and they would cry out to you like this leper who fell at Jesus' feet and say, I need mercy, I need help, because Lord, we know that you will immediately respond. And Lord, for those of us who do know you and are struggling right now with all the uncertainty of the world, we pray you would bring peace to us, that as we call on you in the day of trouble, that we would be confident that you will answer us and help us. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be together as a church community this morning all throughout the world, and we pray you would encourage us and strengthen us and give us wisdom in the days ahead. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.